Hello.
We're concentrating on the river and Captain Bayliss and the history of Petaluma. Hello again to our pre-dead listeners. I am Adele Bayliss with my dearest dead friend here, Nora Ann Berry. It has been a mind-blowing educational year, right, Nora?
To die for. Yeah, we just made our lucky 13th episode with Clara Travers. Morning mic drop.
Ooh, yeah.
A tour with a map of our local Cypress Cemetery.
That's right. Technology never ceases.
It surely doesn't. For this episode, we are honored and delighted today to interview your husband,
yes.
Adele. Yes, Captain Thomas Fulcher Bayliss.
Yes, yes. I conjure him up every year for our Valentine's Ghost Walk. He's so good to oblige.
Mm-hmm. Well, Captain Thomas, one of the first pioneers, thank you for being our guest today, our guest ghost. Tell us about you and your life here in Petaluma.
What was it like to come to Petaluma?
Well, thank you. You'll have to excuse me. I used to speak with an Australian accent, but after almost a couple hundred years, I've lost it. So I'll just have to speak in plain old American.
Very American.
But yes, I am Thomas Fulcher Bayliss, and my father was an English army officer. I was born in Dublin, Ireland, but at a very early age, my father was posted to Australia, and that's where I grew up. I went to King's College in Australia, and then went to sea as a merchant seaman. I landed then in San Francisco in 1847, and if you recall, that was during the period of the Mexican War. So the war went on, and after a couple of years, the war ended, but something even more memorable happened, and that, of course, was the gold rush.
Ooh, yes.
Well,
yes,
the gold rush made all kinds of things happen in California, but particularly in San Francisco.
Yes.
Because in less than a year's time, the population went from about 1,500 to over 25,000.
Wow.
And just to try to supply and feed all
yes.
those people became a major task.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was a lot of the frontiersmen and outdoorsmen that were in San Francisco would paddle up Petaluma Slough, which is now Petaluma River,
mm-hmm.
and hunt game to feed this burgeoning population in San Francisco. And they generally would paddle their canoes just about as far as Petaluma, because Petaluma is the headwaters, essentially, of Petaluma Creek, which is a small creek that turns into Petaluma Slough. And Petaluma, as we know it today, it is about as far as you could paddle a canoe. If you want to go further, you better plan on carrying it. And so a hunter's camp was established here, and I was one of those hunters.
Right.
Forget that seafaring business. I came up and hunted game.
Ambitious.
But an old salt can't get away from the sea, and so I came up with the idea let's get a boat and bring it up and establish a trading post. So with a partner, another young man, and I was in my mid-20s at the time, another young man named David Fogdell. We bought a very small schooner and managed to sail it up to this hunter's camp. and establish a trading post, and it's right there by where the Balshaw Bridge is in in Petaluma.
Yeah,
that was the first trading post in Petaluma.
That was not an easy feat, having 88 bends in the river in tidal slough.
Let's talk about the river for a minute, because it had 88 bends, and most of those bends were within 3 miles of what's now Petaluma. So you had a reasonably straight shot up this river, and then you had all these bends. And having the bends meant that there were almost all the time shoals in the river. And so almost without exception, when you were making a sailing voyage up the Petaluma at one time or another, you had to get out and push your boat off off the shoal, and so we did.
Off, yes.
And the round trip at that time from San Francisco, which is only 14 miles away from the Petaluma River per se, was only 14 miles away.
The channel, yes.
That round trip would take 3 days. Now, you also have to understand that the river was the only access to Petaluma.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that. Back then, there were no roads to Petaluma. There were no railroads to Petaluma. Mm-hmm. You know, Highway 101 didn't exist. And if you were to go south down what is now 101, you'd come to the Golden Gate, and you might find an indigenous person to paddle you across, or you might not. But so if you wanted to come to Petaluma, you came by river, and that the unidimensional aspect of that, a lot of people don't understand and don't realize how important the river was.
Well, yes, commerce.
I capitalized that on that, and my business, because I was acting as a classic middleman, my business took off.
Because if some of those 49ers, they couldn't strike it rich with gold, they needed supplies.
Oh, yeah.
And you were supplying San Francisco, am I right, on the...
Yes, for the most part, it was meat, at least initially, that I traded in. But Petaluma had a remarkable growth rate after that, and it was only very few years before grains and vegetables and that sort of thing, the produce of Petaluma and the area surrounding it was what I was trading in. And so I bought more schooners and eventually paddle wheelers, and I had quite a flotilla. And I was the sailor, so I managed the sailing part,
the harbor
of it, and my partner David ran the store. So
is it true your business was called Tom and Dave?
Yes, we were called Tom and Dave.
That's
a
very clever
my
name.
And I was referred to as Captain Tom.
Captain Tom.
Which was fine with me.
So now that warehouse that's the old mill today, that was not the only warehouse that you built, am I right?
No, you're correct. I built two more warehouses, and I also built a hotel. It was the first hotel to be started in Petaluma, but the second one to actually be finished. But it was at a great location. Again, it was right by my trading post. And I lived in the hotel. Well, you know that, Adele.
I was very relieved when you picked me to be your bride, because this was a rough and tumble town. And you moved me right into that Pioneer Hotel, which was the most popular, because you could walk right off the steamboat and over those wood planks and right into the lobby and not get your boots and skirts muddy.
Even though there weren't very many women, it still meant a lot.
No, there weren't, and a lot of those that were not particularly respectable. So yes,
the soiled doves.
It was a rough town. As an example, at one time, it had a population of about 4,000 people. And if I get the numbers right, 42 saloons and 6 churches. So that gives you an idea.
It was
a rough town. At any rate, I got started in that business, and I kind of grew with the town itself. Mm-hmm. I became a civic leader of sort. I was, as an example, a grand officer of the local Odd Fellows Club. I was the first chief engineer of the fire department. That would have been the equivalent of being the fire chief.
The hook and ladder, you called it.
It was a hook and ladder at that time.
Yeah.
I was captain in the Emmett Rifles, which was a local militia unit, taking advantage, I guess, of my father's trade. I was elected to the what would now be the city council. Was just a very popular individual within the town of Petaluma. I helped start the first library, which was located in the Odd Fellows building. But I also had some interesting experiences as I grew. I had a competitor in the steamship business, river business, an evil skinflint, a grasping skinflint named Thomas Minturn. And Minturn was out purely for his own personal profit, whereas I was more philanthropic in my approach, and he started a passenger line that wound up charging $6 for a run to San Francisco. And so I took that as a challenge, and I started hauling more passengers on my boats, and got that reduced to $1. I was very proud of that.
Yes.
And then, remember, we said that the Petaluma Slough had 88 bends in it. Most of those were within 3 miles of Petaluma itself, and so it was a logical idea to establish a little port at that 3 mile period that would allow people to really cut that time
in half. Haystack Landing?
That was at Haystack Landing.
Okay.
And so having established Haystack Landing and made that trip much more viable, the next logical thing was to put a little railroad in there, and this would have been the first railroad in Northern California, and believe it or not, it was called the Petaluma and Haystack Railroad. Yes.
All these very clever names. Oh, yes.
and so the city, this was done under the auspices of the newly formed city of Petaluma, and they took two proposals, one from the evil Skin Flint Minturn, and another one from me. Now Minturn, his bid involved using a steam locomotive as to pull it, whereas mine was more pedestrian. I bid using a mule drawn line.
Safer. Well, much safer.
Well, Petaluma, you know, was always, even back then, was progressive in nature, and they wanted to go high tech, so they said yes, we'll have a steam engine, and Minturn unhappily got that bid, and he built and operated the railroad. Now the really bad news of that is that he failed to adequately maintain his steam engine, because those things back then required a lot of maintenance, and they were pretty dangerous to operate in.
This was not a regulated time, was it, during the Victorian era?
Yes, and so his engine blew up, killed I believe 4 people. That ended the railroad for a few months. He never did put an engine back on it. Wound up using mules, just like I had
your original idea
in the first time. Yeah.
I mean, I heard that it was not safe for passengers or products. That there was a whole load of eggs later on that arrived in San Francisco hard boiled, because the steam was off with the heat.
That's right. They later on they designed specific boats that operated on the river called egg boats that had all the machinery in the rear, and that allowed the front part of the boat to be free to have the breezes come through and so on, and that
keep it cool.
That solved that issue. There was also a considerable dairy industry that was going on in the local area and in West Marin. And what people don't realize there is that dairy industry supported not just milk, but other kinds of dairy products. As a matter of fact, not much milk, because milk wouldn't last. You know, by the time you got the milk from West Marin, you know, up to Petaluma and down the river, you know, why the milk was rancid. So for the most part, the dairy products were cheese and butter, and that sort of thing. And sour milk.
Buttermilk, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the rest of the milk that was left over, the skim milk that would now get a high price in a market, that was used for a subsidiary industry, which is hog farming. If you were in the dairy business, you were in the hog raising business, because that's where the milk went.
It all tied together, didn't it?
Yeah, an interesting aspect of it.
So the first library was in the Oddfellows building.
Yes, it was in the I helped develop that. We got our goal was some 2,000 books, and we got that. And it's just amazing in today's terms as to how rapidly things happened back then. We went from the founding of Petaluma to having an opera house, an ornate, big, beautiful opera house in 20 years. You know, from nothing to a town with an opera house.
And I've heard you talk about that this town was, Petaluma was considered to be the first college for the UC system.
Yes, there was the state of California was looking for a place to put the university, the state, the new state university, and Petaluma was the first choice, and the state negotiated with Vallejo to get some acreage from Vallejo, but they could never agree on a price, and so they instead they settled on Berkeley.
That would have changed the profile of Petaluma.
So Petaluma would have been a little different place, you know, had that worked out.
But you, with being a member, a top member,
oh,
of
Grand
the Odd
Officer.
Fellows, yes, mm-hmm. ended up leading the charge of ending up with our charter in 1858 of the city of Petaluma. It's when we became an official city.
Well, yes, I'm proud of the fact that I was one of the, we call them movers and shakers.
That's right. You did a lot. That's right.
In Petaluma. Everyone loved Captain Tom. As a matter of fact, at my funeral, it was the largest such event that had happened in Petaluma to that point, and the entire city shut down, shops closed, the Petaluma band, you know, paraded up and down Main Street, and it was a wonderful event. You remember that, Adele?
Oh, well, for sure, yeah. I was just thinking about the Cypress Cemetery and how the Odd Fellows moved you from Oak Hill Cemetery. I think my bones are still over at Oak Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Nora and I, when we haunt about, when we pass by that beautiful Second Empire building, the Odd Fellows building, we wonder, like, if it had been called the Odd Females building, would have been a whole different thing.
That's right. Lily Evans story.
Sanitarium.
much like the Berkeley story. Yeah, things would have been differently.
You did a lot for this town. And, I mean, well, we know that you're an entrepreneur, you're a civic leader, fire chief, grand officer, that you're very successful business-wise. But when it came to Adele, well, three babies in 3 years and all that, you know, cleaning up the Pioneer Hotel. So I threw myself in the creek when I was 22. But you did quite well after that, too. You went on to marry Honoria, Dave Fogdell's widow.
Yes.
Yeah, it worked out.
There may have been innuendos associated with that, but
you know, I'm not,
but at the time, frankly, that sort of thing happened quite regularly. It was a matter of survival.
I'm not suspicious of any foul play.
Love may or may not have ever entered into it, but survival did.
That's right. Yes. Well, so, you know, I went on to marry Dave, dead Dave, in the afterlife, so it all worked out.
And no more children.
No.
But she loved watching how you and Honoria took care of...
I would love to thank Honoria.
Took care of the kids, yeah, but unfortunately I died when I was 44.
You did? How
happened? What was... Very young of a consumptive disease,
okay.
And I
did so much in those 44 years.
All of what I did was there at the beginning, but I'm proud of the fact that it was at the beginning, and there's no historical figure of which I'm aware that was any earlier than I was.
Exactly.
I was one of the hunters that came up to Petaluma, and it all started from there.
And some of these roads were built right on the paths of the Native Americans, right? Because it was a hunting village.
Sure, a lot of the same dynamics that made Petaluma a good place for
settlers,
made it a good place to establish a village, and
well, can you talk a little bit about that when we were the egg basket of the world? I know that you've done some research.
Through a combination of circumstances, it became evident that Petaluma in particular was a good place for chicken ranching. It had the right kind of climate. It had the right altitude.
Mm-hmm.
The white leghorn hen had just come into prominence and was a remarkable egg producer, largely because they were really bad mothers. and they could care less if you stole their eggs. They just made more, you know, without grouching or complaining or anything. So you put all those factors together, and it was a great place for eggs. Also, eggs, although they're certainly perishable, they're nothing like milk. So enter then migration. There were some settlers that were Jewish that became egg producers, and they organized essentially a rather large migration of Jewish farmers from Eastern Europe.
Right.
This was in the late 1800s, and they came to San Francisco, and there was a regular procedure set up for them. They could go to Levi Strauss and get a $3,000 loan. And that would allow them to buy 5 acres in Petaluma, a horse and a wagon and some pullets and enough money to build a small house and last for a year.
Wow.
And that's all it took, a grub stake essentially. Mm-hmm. So that was one wave of Jewish migrants. Mm-hmm. There was another wave that came in the 1900s, the early 1900s, that also became chicken farmers. And there was an enormous difference between the first wave and the second wave. The first wave were quite religious. The second wave were secular. The second wave were among other things socialists and communists, and they were very secular. They didn't want anything to do, and so those two groups just fought each other literally for several decades. That's over now. That eventually worked itself out. But if you want to read that story, there's a great book called "Comrades and Chicken Farmers" that explains all that.
Well, Nora and I like to wander about the cemetery, Cypress Cemetery, which McNear made for his first wife, right? And B'nai Israel, they have a beautiful part of that cemetery, and then there's of course Calvary, and then Honoria, your second wife, has a beautiful monument with a very nice view, I noticed.
On the top of the hill of that section. But you're both a bit of a distance apart from each other. You know, you're at the Odd Fellows. She's over on this other mound.
Yes,
a little separation there.
We're much farther apart there than we were when we lived in the hotel. Yes.
Well, Captain Tom, sailor, entrepreneur, civic leader. I mean, like I said, I was so relieved when you picked me to be your bride, because coming to San Francisco at 18 years old in 1853, I was pretty frightened.
Oh, and again, how many men there were everywhere,
exactly.
Not many women.
Yeah.
And then come to Petaluma where there was even less.
Muddy town, lots of men and hotels.
Yes.
And saloons.
You made a good selection.
She did. But you helped by, creating this charter that came about. They could charge taxes, and we finally had constables started some law enforcement.
Yeah. Really, you did a lot in that 4 years. It's amazing.
What about the jail?
Oh, right. It's on the McNair Peninsula. They built a jail in 1858, and it was called a calaboose.
Isn't that
and
lovely?
It, a calaboose. Had three apartments, the newspaper said. Three apartments and a calaboose. Sounds like a fancy place. And it was built for $350. That was the lowest construction bid at the time. And what was their motto, Nora?
Oh, let sinners beware.
Hung over the door.
Yes. Why would you beware? You're going to get a wonderful place to
apartment
sleep
in the
and
Calaboose.
Meals. Oh, what's there to be aware of? Yes.
Be worth $1 million now.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that Honoria? Honoria?
Honoria!
There we go.
I can relate to that.
Okay, all right. Now,
it's good to find a specific person.
Yes.
After 165 years.
What? It's great to be seen.
What we didn't say is that Adele ran the female border side of the
Pioneer
Hotel. And Honoria was her chief asset in that regard.
Thank you for taking care of our children.
My pleasure.
They did well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, thank you for all your contributions to this town, Captain Bayless.
Right.
And thank you so much for coming to talk with us today.
Yes.
My pleasure, ladies. Mm-hmm. And Adele, good to see you.
The afterlife's been kind to with my decomposing skin.
That's right. We sure love the mist we have in Petaluma.
Yeah.
It's true.
So would you join us to sign off? What does RIP stand for?
Well, we should let the captain get back to his endeavor, you know, running these ghost cruises the Sandwich Islands.
Yes, your latest business endeavor.
Yes.
I heard you have the Ajax, which was a military steamboat that blew up.
Yeah,
it's a little crispy on the inside, decor-wise.
I heard that my father knew Lord Sandwich.
Oh, in Hawaii there. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they call it Hawaii now, Nora. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So, yes.
What does RIP stand for?
Rest in Petaluma.
Hey, you can find us on Instagram at Petaluminaries.
Send us your ghost stories at our new reincarnated email at hex@petaluminaries.xyz.
This is a Petaluminaries production featuring Sky Bailey, inhabited by Adele Bayless, and Binky Thorson, inhabited by Nora Berry. Audio recording by Rio Helmy, edited by Tom Whitley.
Our special guest today, Homer Johnston, inhabited by Thomas Fulcher Bayless.
This is a Petaluminaries podcast, copyright 2024.
Down the Mississippi steamed the Whippoorwill, commanded by that pilot, Mr. Steamobile. The owners gave him orders on the strict QT to try and beat the record of the Robert E. Lee. Just speed up your fires, let the old smoke roll. Burn up all your cargo if you run out of coal. If we don't beat that record, Billy told the mate, send the mail and care of Peter to the Golden Gate. Old Steamboat Bill, steaming down the Mississippi. Steamboat Bill, a mighty man was he. Old Steamboat Bill, steaming down the Mississippi. Gonna beat the record of the Robert E. Lee.